not true.
It's the sunnah to do so.
You don't need to shout this baby sleeping enough.
It is the sunnah to do so. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha explained, she used to herself apply perfume on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his hair as well, before he would put on the ihram. Now,
maybe
after you put on the ihram, however, you should no longer apply any perfume because it is one of the restrictions of ihram. Furthermore, if you wind up having some stains or some leftover or some spots of perfume on your garment, you have to wash them off. So the perfume can be on the body but not on the ihram itself. On the body, not on the ihram. And after you put on the ihram and you actually begin your umrah or hajj, meaning you enter into the state of ihram, then you're no longer allowed to apply perfume at all until you have concluded your umrah by either shortening or shaving your hair, if you're a man. At the end, then the sister will remove some of, amount of the tip of the pinky finger from their hair. After that is done, the umrah is officially concluded, and then you may, of course, shower and apply your perfume and cut your nails and cover your head and all the things which were not permissible prior to that. Next, on a turn, there you go. Raikum Landurin, permitted to go to the she's not permitted to go to the masjid as in the place where the ladies pray. If there's an area in the masjid, however, that is not designed or designated for prayer, then she may sit over there. But she may not be in the place where people have differed. And a very strong opinion is that the sister may do so. She can use the Quran directly. She can use a cloth or gloves or something to touch the Quran if necessary, and then she can read or she can recite from it. She doesn't actually use the Quran itself, but she may not touch the Quran. Popular and strong opinion, inshallah. I'm very happy in Ramadan, but I hate Eid al-Fitr. The way my culture celebrates Eid turned me off. How can I change my feelings on Eid? Perhaps you should rephrase your question, and you should say, I'm very happy with Ramadan, but I hate the way my people behave during Eid. You shouldn't hate Eid al-Fitr because Allah legislated Eid al-Fitr, and Allah legislated. Seeing how it ends or it comes to them, very feeling. It is actually expected because the natural disposition which we were created with requires that we love whatever Allah loves and we hate whatever Allah hates. So the way you feel is correct, but make sure that you don't have that feeling affect the way you deal with the people. At the end, hating this behavior will not bring them to the truth or to the sunnah. So the feelings you have to set aside, and you have to advise them and guide them and invite them with wisdom and good preaching in a manner which is best, so that they abandon their cultural ways and follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a calamity which has befallen the ummah in almost every country. There's almost no exception to the rule. So we don't hate Eid al-Fitr, don't hate the people so that you no longer give them da'wah. Try to use this as means of educating them concerning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next question.
Wonder if I might say something about that. Yeah. When I like exactly what he just told you. I remember, even as a Christian, some advice from a Catholic. She was telling her son and me at the same time, never hate the people, hate the do. Because if you hate the person, then even when he does something good, you still hate him. But if you hate the evil, and when it's corrected, then you can love the person with no limits. And this is much better for us as believers. Hating the evil, but loving the chance to remove that evil in the best positive way, as Sheikh is saying. And I hope, inshallah, Allah accept that. We've only got time for just a little bit more. We're going to have to wrap it up. So keep your questions coming, and we'll be back right after something that's coming up. I have another question just in a second. So don't go away. And you're watching Chad Islam TV, or you're watching Chad Islam TV on Chad Islam. Either way you like it, we like it. Doesn't matter. On the left. Okay, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. You're watching us here in Chad Islam. I'd like to remind you that we're now connected with Guidus TV, Islam Tomorrow, Share Islam, GodAllah.com, ProphetOfIslam.com. We've got so many websites out there. And it might be that you'd like to know how you could access those websites real easy. I'm going to show you how to do that. www.links. It's the word links to islam.com. That's where you can find all of our stuff. Now we're right in the middle of a program answering questions about Ramadan. We have with us Abu Musa, who is from Jeddah, but we're broadcasting from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia right now. Also with us our brother Naif. He's making dua for us, inshallah, that we give you the right answers. And, of course, as Yusuf Estes. When we get back to Doha, I'll be in Qatar only Friday. Friday only at the Aspire Mosque. You might also check local listings there. We may have another program in another venue right after that, and then I have to leave for UK. If you're in the UK, you know anybody in the UK, you can tell them I will be there for only one night. That will be the night of the 14th or 15th. I'm not sure which they decided, at the East London Mosque. If you'd like to help us promote, book the internet, the chat rooms, Pal Talk. Let them know that I will be in London at the East Mosque. Check with them and they'll let you know when we're going to be there. That'll be an all-night thing. And then we've also got another program, which will be, I think, on the S channel. I'm not sure which channel. We're going to do an all-night broadcast there in the UK, New York. And we'll start doing live broadcast question and answers over there. And I'll be live in the chat room to see over to... You see me on their point? Yeah. Look over here on the right side of your screen. You see that? Okay. Where Adi is in there right now, we'll be in there answering your questions in this same chat room, inshallah. So I'll tell everybody about that. This is going to be the 16th, 17th, 18th. And now we're going to turn it back over to Sheikh Abu Musab, and he's going to talk to us more and give some more questions and answers. Go ahead.
Okay, the next question says, is it permissible to read the dua in your own language in sujood? A lot of people say it is only permissible in Arabic. It is permissible to make dua to Allah in any language, because Allah is the creator of all languages, and it's one of the signs of the is اختلاف ألسنتكم, the variation in your languages or your tongues. It is preferred, however, that you learn narrations or some of the dua, some of the supplications of the Prophet ﷺ in the Arabic language, along with their buy them and use them during your dua. However, if you have a particular request or need which maybe Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had asked for, then there's no harm that you ask for that in your own language in mandatory prayer. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. And we have not sent a messenger except with the same language as his people, so he may clarify things for them. So the idea is that you have a dynamic relationship with Allah. It is not ritualism. Feel what you're asking for, and that it is genuine, it is from your heart. If the language is a barrier, then the language is no longer a barrier. And you can ask in a language which you know. That doesn't mean we don't try to learn Arabic, but you can make dua in your own language, inshallah. Next question, how many rak'at is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never prayed more than 11. However, there are other traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which suggest that one may pray as much as one wants, such as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Salatul layli matna matna. The night prayer is twos, meaning two units of prayer after two units of prayer, until if you fear Fajr, then only one. So this is an issue concerning which, again, the scholars have differed. Ultimately, nothing is better than the Sunnah. But sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do something, and it does not mean that he does not allow something else. The fact that he preferred something does not make that other thing forbidden or obligatory. For instance, he had recommended to some of the companions not to recite the Quran in less than a week. But the companion said, I have the strength, I have the endurance, I'm able to do it. He said, okay, then not less than 3 days. Now, the fact that he allowed him, it does not mean that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Quran in less than 3 days or in 3 days. It might have taken him longer. So, the fact that he prayed 11 does not mean that no one is allowed to go beyond that because of the existence of other traditions. Some of the scholars say that you don't go beyond the 11 period, but that is not a very popular opinion. So, you know, what matters is the quality of your salah. Whether they're leading the salah with 11 is, are you having khushur? Are you feeling submissiveness in your prayer? Are you getting closer to Allah? Is there quality in the salah? That is the most important thing. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Is it permissible instead for me to go abroad to pursue my master's degrees for exactly 1 year? I wear hijab. I also have the intention to do da'wah of whatever authentic knowledge I have whenever possible. And my answer is no. You may not. And I refer you to distance learning.
Hold on 1 second. I'll refer you to some up-close learning right here. If you're a sister and you're saying you wear hijab, I know you're not a brother wearing hijab, right? So a sister is asking for permission to do something which is not permissible. That's what you're actually doing. Because you are without a mahram. You can only travel a certain distance. Like if you were going from your mom's house to your dad's house, it takes a day to get there, you can do that. But otherwise, to go somewhere and stay somewhere without a mahram, this is not acceptable. And nobody can give you that permission. I don't care if they say you can't. You cannot go like that. And if you said, well, I need to finish my master's, why? Why did that all of a sudden be a crucial thing to compromise? And all these sisters who do this stuff come back with these stories later. They did this, they did that, something happened, it's not my fault, blah, blah, blah. And so, it's clear. And even if nothing did happen to you, it's still not right. You don't do that. And I want to emphasize this because I have been in communities of sisters, communities filled with sisters with no mahram. Nobody is mahram for them. When I went years ago, and from Malaysia, and all of them said, well, we're mahram for each other. Where's the evidence for this? And if this is the evidence, what's the magic number when suddenly so many women are mahram for each other? One year, some sisters came to me when I was eating my breakfast, and they started complaining to me. They said, oh, all these guys, you know, they were helping us in the beginning of the Hajj, but then when they're paying attention to their wife, they're not helping us anymore. How come these men don't help us? I said, how many are there? And they told me, I said, oh my God. I said, and where's your husband? And listen to this. Now, if she would have said she's a widow, she didn't know. At home, he doesn't want to come for Hajj. Has he ever made Hajj? No. Why doesn't he want to make Hajj? She said, well, he has to stay and make more money. We need more money. Hajj. She said, yeah, but it's okay. The travel agency said it was okay because we're here, so we're okay. We're mahram for each other. I said, okay, forget about the travel agency. Okay. But look at each other. You just got through telling me you can't help each other. You need some men to help you. They said, yeah, it's difficult. I said, that's the whole. So why did you do it? Okay. You can make Hajj with your husband. Well, he didn't want to. Okay. So understand, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear, a woman doesn't even travel for Hajj. And it's obligatory. She doesn't travel for Hajj. Doesn't have a mahram. How can you come up and say, now I want to continue my education, or I want to go live over there, I want to go be with some sisters? You can't do that. Because look at this. She would get the reward for Hajj even if she never went, because she had the niyat to pray. Because part of the way for the lady is to have a mahram. No mahram, no travel. Try it. Two words. No mahram. And don't compromise that. And understand, in front of Allah, we told you. And as some sisters have gone around this, even after we tell them, they still do it. And it's so dangerous. Even if you say, well, nothing happened, other sisters to do the same thing. Because you're saying, well, look at me, it didn't happen to me. So if it does happen to them, now how will you deal with that? Think about that. Think about it really hard. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to Abu Musab. Inshallah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I guess we can take the last question. We can take in the last question. We're on a time budget here. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Can you complete this dua? I'm not sure how to complete this. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala ashrafi anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. That's it.
What's to complete
after
that? Nothing
complete. ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين possibly. ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين possibly. Assisted or additions that are not necessarily, يعني they're not, you're not obliged to add them. Okay, these are just ways of praising Allah and sending the thing peace, asking Allah to exalt the mentioning grant peace to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway,
it's not a surah.
Yeah, it's not a surah from the Quran or anything of the sort. No, it's not even a hadith actually. It's just you know what the people begin their talks with, because we're supposed to begin our talks by praising Allah and sending salam on the Prophet. Ala kulli hal, I thank you all kindly for your patience. Mashallah, we have 71 people here. Yeah, this is the average.
71.
Seven. Look, the average people we have during a Q&A session is 70, 80.
So they finally fixed that problem. We had a problem that it wouldn't go over 50. It would kick them out.
Alhamdulillah.
Now it goes to 70 and kicks them out. Huh?
So we'll give you farewell, and we'll catch up with Friday, same time, 4:30, Mecca time. 9:30 Eastern. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa salamu alaykum.
Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're watching Chat Islam in conjunction with Guidance TV. And over here on the right side, over that's Yusha Evans. and he's on the Dean Show. That was one of the first programs that he did, was the Dean Show, the first Dean Show. She was very instrumental in helping him get that going. I'm sure you'll enjoy that too. And we said, you got 30 more questions? Wow. I wish we had 30 more minutes, but we ran out of time. And that's what happened. Back tomorrow, guys. Stay right here. We got more stuff coming up. You can watch the channel right over there. If you want to expand the channel up, the screen on the right, there's a button over there. You can click and it'll make the whole screen become the channel. You can watch the channel right there. And then from time to time, look back over here and see what's going on in the chat room. We have monitors with us. We have, let me see who's with us today, by the way. I'm going to have to close this down. There we go. We have, of course, Monitor SF, forever and ever, mashallah, with us from Bermuda. It's very great to see you guys with us today. Monitor EV is in the United States. Abdurrahman is here with us. In the Philippines, we have, is that Yushna? Mushkan is in the U.S., and Ra is with us. Sahir, where we got 71 people. I don't need to name them all, do I? I hope not. But for sure, usually I do that, but I just realized with 71, you're back on tomorrow?
No, Friday.
Friday. You're off tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Twice. Abu Musab with us twice a week on Fridays and
Tuesdays.
Tuesdays and Fridays. And by the way, he has, for him to do this, he has to do this. Else right away. He keeps really busy. Alhamdulillah, that's a good habit to be in, personally. The next thing to tell you about my personal schedule, I will be here in Riyadh, a couple of months back in Doha, Qatar, for only one day at, it's called Aspire Mosque. Usually, Dr. Bilal, he'll be with us on hand, but I'll be the one who is giving you the khutbah, Juma. After which, there's supposed to be a program somewhere, but I don't have the details. You can ask at Aspire Mosque, they should know. And then we have the next will be on in UU Live on our Guidance TV. Plus, we'll be on the S channel there and also in the East London Mosque. If you know anybody in the UK, tell them we'll be in the UK at the East London Mosque for the Juma, East London Mosque. Following day, I think we're going to be in New York on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in New York, live, Texas right after that, then California the next week. That's our schedule. Check it all out. I'm going to post it up here for you. We have a sister keeping it up for us. Make it up for her and her family. It's called IslamEvents.com. Oh, that's not right. Sorry. Let me try again. IslamEvents.com/Yusuf. That's where you'll find my schedule. And inshallah, Juma, East London Mosque, Juma. Just figure it out. You know, Juma on Friday. Okay? Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.